Well, friends, indeed, it's nothing new for Irish people, you know, throughout the world, but particularly in the United States, including places like New York, for the Irish across the board to rise to the occasion when there is a crisis. And boy, is there a crisis right now. I want to welcome Brian McCabe. Brian, of course, as most people would know in the Irish community, friends, he is a retired distinguished member of the New York City Police Department and has held, indeed, a very high profile in the Irish community for as far back as we can remember. So there's no real surprise that as we were struck with this horrific coronavirus crisis here in New York, that Brian McCabe would be at the forefront to organize what is known as the Mehel. Brian McCabe, you're very welcome indeed.
Adrian, thank you. You're very kind, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I greatly appreciate that that very flattering introduction. I feel humbled by it, and am grateful once again to your, for Anya and yourself in inviting me to speak.
Brian, to use a popular Irish expression, when this enemy, the virus, came our way, we didn't know what hit us. And many would say we still don't know. Took the bull by the horns, so to speak, and continued to do what you've done for most of your life, and that is to, jump into the fray and, create this umbrella organization called the Mehel. Tell us how you went about it.
Well, I think, in reflection, I feel that we, as a people, as a group, as a community, our traditions and culture would indicate that we're not the type to just sit idly by as a tragedy unfolds in front of us. You're right. I mean, many people are, and still are perhaps, or were and still are, just gobsmacked by it all and feeling impotent and powerless in the face of this global situation. You and I go back quite a ways, and we know issues that have arisen in the past, be it 9/11 20 years ago almost now, or 2012, the Mehel that we organized to respond to Sandy. And those were crises of epic proportions as well. But nothing struck us like this did. And in reflecting on that, and organizing some of the stalwarts from that Mehel of 2012, in response, the Irish response to that regional disaster, I just thought that, in particular this time, since everybody is affected, since we are totally, for the most part, unless you're involved, as I am, in working at hospitals and as first responders, pretty much people, businesses, industries shut down, people sequestered in their homes, and I just felt it's not our way to just sit and watch endlessly on the television as facts and politicians and talking heads are telling us we know the depth of this problem, and I just thought that our crowd would rally around a way to focus. Everybody wants to do something. So it was a way to focus specifically our community and provide them with an avenue for their goodwill and their historic penchant for stepping up, as you say, into the fray and not taking things sitting down.
You know, again, for the first couple of weeks, and indeed many would say even now, the difference between what's coming out of Washington, our political leaders, with respect to how, don't worry about anything, we've got plenty of personal protective equipment, everything is hunky-dory. That wasn't the situation, and maybe by now, yes, there may be, you know, a lot of gear around. Having said that, some hospitals, some healthcare workers, you know, the valiant healthcare workers who, again, like a 9/11, you know, entering into the equivalent of a raging fire. They're there. Okay, but we didn't have to look very far to find out that the reality of the matter was that while everybody was saying to us, don't worry about anything, there was very good reason, indeed, to worry. And, you know, I think Brian and the organizations that have joined you and that you represent, they found, indeed, they didn't have to go that far to find that there were needs and great needs, not only for this, you know, for the equipment and the personal protective gear that they needed, but also beyond that, as we hailed and continue to hail all of those, you know, who are, you know, forgetting about the clock, working around the clock, that they also have additional needs. And as with any metal, we're there to support them in other ways. Maybe help them, get them some food, donate food, donate many other aspects of what will be and what is not only a nice thing to do, but necessary.
You couldn't be more right. And I'll take the opportunity now, with your forbearance, to kind of delineate what the strategy of the Metro is and was since its inception only, frankly, less than 2 weeks ago. We've made some great strides already. Our initial concern was to address the lag in the pipeline for personal protective equipment. Many of our crowd would be involved in the building trades, construction, real estate, building management, restaurants and salons for that matter, and they would be able to have on hand easily adaptable equipment that could be brought online for our medical professionals on the front line. So we wanted to source that, as a lot of our workers in those industries stood down, much of that gear was on shelves, and we got a great outpouring of support with that, and we started collecting it. New York Irish Center is one of the depots, as the Ashland Center up up in Yonkers there in the Bronx as well, on the Bronx border, where we were able to collect and store some of the personal protective equipment that was required in the short term. Another aspect of that personal protective equipment availability is one that well-meaning people, organizations, trying to independently source by purchasing such equipment. Actually, they're entering a market that has exploded. From one Long Island facility, it was explained to me that a certain volume of personal protective equipment that in the first week of March, say, would have been be able to be purchased for $200,000 for that volume of gear. Only last week or a week and a half ago, that same volume of gear was going for $1.2 million. So there's that economic economic cost with such a demand and a limited supply. So if we were to enter that market with donations of funds to try to purchase, we would just be part of driving those numbers up. So we came up with the idea of collecting it from where it was not in use, nitrile gloves, procedural masks or N95 masks that are used, the N95s in particular and N99s, used in our construction trades, and be able to get them and put them online. And that would be able to, and by doing so and getting them to those, to some hospitals, public hospitals, not-for-profits, some that are really feeling the crunch, even if they weren't used by the frontline staff. There are many people involved in the healthcare organizations that need this protection in the second line of defense, and those would be environmental workers, security people, in the transport people, a number of the ones that keep the lights on, the water flowing, and provide the support to the first line clinical staff. That clinical staff will get equipment that is specifically earmarked for the endeavors they're engaged in, and the items that we're able to source are used for the secondary staff, as well as, when necessary, pressed into service and be adapted for the use of that clinical staff. So that's what we admit. That was our first phase, and that's what we're doing. In fact, when you and I conclude our discussion, we're going to, I'll be leaving with a dear friend, a colleague, Jim McLaughlin, who's a doctor himself, and he and I will be going to meet up with Owen Rogers from our community and Dan Dennehy, who's a good friend of both of ours, and we're going to go to the collection points, and we're going to do inventory and then do distribution to four hospitals today. Elmhurst General in Queens, Wyckoff Heights in Brooklyn, St. Barnabas in the Bronx with a desperate need, and St. John's Riverside in Yonkers, also a private hospital in need of some support. So that's what we're doing today. Another aspect of it is that we do have a GoFundMe, and we're raising funds. And those funds, in line with our mission, are specifically for, once the pipeline opens up and this equipment is readily accessible, it'll still be very dear. So with whatever funds we can raise, we can then provide what are called restricted donations. And it's important that we do this and not enter the market and just try to buy and distribute ourselves. Restricted donations to the foundations of the hospitals, of the those hospitals most in need, will provide funding to those hospitals that can only be used for the purchase of protective equipment for the frontline staff. So it's not as though we would donate whatever amount of money to the hospital for them to do with what they deem what they would like to. It would be with the caveat that it's strictly for PPE. And then the third aspect of that is once we feel that we've gone as far as we can with that, or that we're comfortable that things are starting to normalize in that pipeline, we then, with whatever funds we may have, we would then, in support of the nurses and the staffs at the hospitals, and also perhaps to give a shot in the arm to some of our crowd in surrounding restaurants and such who have been out of work, is to provide meals through those restaurants to that frontline staff, donated through organizations that have been set up to provide that. We're growing all the time, and we're partnering with other people in other avenues for distribution. So, and then finally, Adrian, one of the things that I considered when I was mulling over in some frustration. What can we do? And I thought that I should call on colleagues, friends. We have a number of very young, recently arrived Irish as well, GAA people like Paul Stanton and Emma Stanton and Brian Glynn, and of course our dear Sophie Colgan, who has been a stalwart in this and organizing, and
yep.
And she's just done a phenomenal job. But one of the things I considered about the methyl was we clearly delineate our mission as I described it, source what we can on the ground now, get it for immediate assistance, raise funds for restricted donations, and to provide meals to workers. But I also thought that it would be a way to mobilize our people who feel after 9/11 and in the methyl in 2012 at Sandy, our people went out on the streets, or they went down to the Rockaways and the Brooklyn shores, and we did real work with our hands. We did demolition work. We did construction work. We did distribution. We were able to get hands on. That's something our crowd always does. What I saw as particularly concerning in this brand new environment is that we didn't have the opportunity to work hands to heart. We didn't have that because everybody is socially distanced, is sequestered in their homes or very, very insular. But because we're socially distanced doesn't mean we need to be socially isolated. We can define a new way for our community to rise up against the common threat. And that is through the social media, through good offices like your own, getting the word out, and so that people would see, you know something, I could do something. We've had donations of $2,500. We've had donations of $10. And I'm gratified by both. But it gives an opportunity for people who are anxious, who are sitting by feeling a bit hopeless and a bit impotent in the face of this, and that's not our way. So we thought that the methyl would also be a way to kind of alleviate some of the anxiety and frustration of our community at home by giving them an avenue through their identity to be supportive of a community effort to help.
Brian, you've said it all, and you left very little to our imagination, and you've given a great description of, in fact, what the methyl is all about. I know that initially, before you were even halfway out the door, that you had and have had groups who maybe heretofore did their work individually. For instance, you have the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Grand Council of United Emerald Societies, the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, the Brahon Law Society, Building Managers Society, Ashling Irish Center, Irish American Building Society, the New York Irish Center, the Gaelic Athletic Association, and Hudson Valley Irish Festival. I think it would be good to point out that this is not a closed shop. There are many organizations who may feel that perhaps they're too small, too isolated to join the methyl.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. And those were the initial groups that supported us. But no, we continue to grow. As a matter of fact, the Padded Wagon and the Emerald Group, they're going to be assisting us in distribution today. In addition, the Irish Business Organization, you mentioned the Brehons.
Yeah.
The Knights of St. Patrick. There are a number of organizations. We continue our outgrowth, our outreach, and nobody is too small. We're only small if we don't link arms together. We are together while apart, and if it's one household, one family, one individual, or if it's an existing organization, the GAA, any of our crowd, they can help in any way possible.
or if they have, I'm not looking to spearhead this necessarily, if there is a way that we, with our networking structure, can help others in their good efforts, just to provide a framework for people who identify with us and other people of goodwill who recognize us as a means of providing direct relief, we welcome everybody on board, and we will continue to grow, and we'll continue to report out on it strictly, totally transparently, and welcoming anybody who could be of assistance.
Finally, Brian McCabe, there are a great number of people who may not be familiar with GoFundMe, and who are they, and what do they do, and why should people go to an organization or to a website they know very little about? Maybe you can straighten us out on that.
Yes, indeed. The GoFundMe, it's a structure where if there is a need that's identified. See, you're not giving to GoFundMe. GoFundMe is nearly like a bank. That you could set up, that is easily accessible. It's a web-based concern. That, as a matter of fact, the GoFundMe page is in the name of the Methyl Irish America in Support of Healthcare, organized by myself because there needed to be an organizer of record. But it's not, you're not donating to GoFundMe. They are a clearinghouse to receive and process donations. As I said, as small as $10, but whatever can be done.
Sure.
But it's not a donation to GoFundMe. It's a direct donation to the Methyl Irish America in Support of Healthcare. And that can be sourced, by going to Facebook. There's a Facebook page that Sophie had put up. Mm-hmm. There's a direct link to it there. Or if people are familiar with it, or people who are less familiar with the social media, you could just, do a web search for GoFundMe and search Irish America in Support of Healthcare, and that page would be prompted. But it's a direct donation to the Methyl, not GoFundMe itself.
Brian, again, for people to log on to an organization headed by your good self, how do we do that?
If anybody has any questions, we also have an email address.
Good.
And it's the Methyl. Perhaps I should spell it for some
right.
who may not be as familiar with the word. So it would be THEMEITHEAL@gmail.com. Anybody who is hearing this and has any questions or comments or concerns or would like to assist as well, they could reach out to us through that email account, and we will respond very, very quickly to it. And we'll also guide them through the process and help them if they have any, like me. You're asking me questions, and I'm sounding like I know what I'm talking about to a degree, Adrian. I'm a Luddite sometimes with the computers, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. But this younger crowd is handling it very well, and they give me enough information so I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, we have another expression in Ireland, and it's called, stand back and let the dog see the rabbit. That's what the that's what the younger generation have perfected. As a matter of fact, you know, I would assume, and I'm not speaking for you, but perhaps if the shoe fits, you wear it, but. You know, they say if you really want to have somebody breeze through the maze of the internet, try to find somebody around 10 years of old, and many cases.
Absolutely.
Listen.
It's the new language of the world. Right?
All right. Thank you. Good luck to you. And we're all behind you, and I don't think that, you know, the metal will be able to rest easy anytime soon.
Unfortunately, that's the case. But, Adrian, thank you so much. It's because of you and your longstanding good offices for our community that the things like this do get publicized, and we can discuss them. And you're an essential part of Irish New York and beyond. So I want to thank you very much
yes.
for providing me with this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I suffer for the fact that I say that I'm a small cog in a big wheel. Having said that, friends, we have been listening to Brian McCabe, a true leader, an organizer who's not new to the Irish community and is very prominent in good times and in bed. As a matter of fact, you know, Brian was mentioning there and spelling out how best to reach this new organization. If you log on to Irish Radio, for that matter, if you're listening to us, you're there already. We have the direct link to the Mehel,